This episode of the Innerho Uprising is sponsored by you. That's right, you. All of your Patreon donations, PayPal donations, five-star reviews on Apple and Stitcher, shoutouts on social media, articles, mentions to your friends, IG merchandise purchases, all make the show possible week in and week out. And for that, we thank you, homies. Innerho Welcome to the Innerho Uprising, the podcast about sex, love, and dating from the perspective of me, Sam, one black, non-monogamous, pansexual feminist hoe who lives in New York City, whose pronouns are they, them, she, and her, and who is just trying to love and be loved during the fascistic downfall of our society.
That's real. Is that new, or is that just something that came from your heart?
That's how I be feeling,
Sam. I feel that. Yeah. And this is how I be feeling. Now that was a horrible segue, but I will go ahead and do mine. And me, Rodeca, one fat, black, polyamorous. Oh, actually, not polyamorous. One fat, black, relationship anarchist whose life is a series of coincidences that somehow land her here, who's also just trying to be loved, you know, because this is hard out here. But I got a lot of love to give and hopefully come back, and pronouns are she and they.
And Akua, pronouns she and her. Who am I? I'm one black, demisexual, bald, mental health person. Yeah, those are the things.
Those were good things. You said, who am I? I was about to be like, the gal damn sugar. And then you said like a good intro. You messed up my joke. But I'm glad that you're here. All right. Every episode of the Innerho Uprising works like this. Myself and my lovely rotating co-hosts talk about sex, love, and dating as it pertains to current events in the world, our lives, and yours. And occasionally we hit you with interview episodes with insightful folks or do deep dive episodes on a topic of our choice. This episode, we're taking a trip down memory lane with Ludacris and Usher, baby. We're talking about some kind of queer salamanders. I can't put my finger on it, but I know that they're queer. We're talking about relationship anarchy, plus one of us... all of us, but one of us is a newly happy ass bitch for a particular reason. Find out why, along with much more coming up. But first,
if you'd like to follow along with the conversation had in this podcast on social media, you can do so by using the hashtag Innerho Uprising or tweet us Innerho Uprising without the G on Twitter. We're also at Innerho Uprising on Instagram and Facebook.
Yes, we are. Let's hop right into things with a segment that we call Fuck Is That Sound?
Hey, ain't nobody trying to hear that bullshit. Man.
This segment is an analysis of horny and or problematic songs from yesteryear. And today, what are we starting with? Are we starting with Usher or Luda, who both make the booty go clap, according to the song? Yeah.
Let's start with Usher.
Okay, sure.
All right, what's going on,
Rosa? So, I think we all know Confessions. We all know this album, right? I think it's pretty popular. Mm-hmm. I listen to it pretty regularly.
That's an interesting fact about me.
I didn't realize.
It's like, why are you listening to it that much? Isn't it about and cheating
it's
and having
really
a son,
like a cron, a guy just timelining just all the things that she's done wrong in this relationship, and it's like just singing with his heart's like. Content and just bellowing and doing such a great job at it until you stop and think like, wow, this is just problematic in every turn. Confessions Part One, the remix, all of it. But for some reason with this song, it didn't hit me how weird it was or how like, this is not a good song until I was singing it. And I was like, I was actually trying to get Alaric to hear the words because I was like, this is kind of shocking. Maybe he'll, but he didn't like hear it because
who's Alaric for people who don't know?
Oh, sorry. Alaric is my partner, boyfriend, person. And he didn't hear it, but I did. And I was like, I should probably talk about this. So the song is That's What It's Made For. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And he starts off just harmonizing and telling us. That he's ready. You could tell he's kind of ready to go. Yeah, it's like, ooh, babe. Yeah, you know, you're feeling it, right? Mm-hmm. He's got a story to tell. So that's what it is. He said a lot of harmonizing, got a story to tell. Mm-hmm. He said, I figured I'd hit it and quit it just one night. And it got so good to me that he doubled back twice. I must have been out of my mind. Yeah, yeah. Babe, I know.
All right, actually read the lyrics because this does not work for, what you're doing does not work for a podcast. I'm so sorry.
It doesn't, but we love to sing. Okay. Go ahead, Rodeca.
So it's figured I'd hit it and quit it just one night. Got so good to me, double back twice. I must have been out of my mind, knowing I don't want to, but I'm about to nut up. What's wrong? I guess it's too late to turn back now. Can't apologize because that ain't my style. Shorty raining wet up in my ear talking about I got what you came for. This here got your name on it. So he's ready to go. She's ready to go. That's why she's raining wet. Oh, wait,
cool. Well, actually, when I first heard that, I thought that they had already had sex and he came early.
Oh, you think so?
That's what I took out of that first. That's always what I took out of that first. Because he's like, I can't apologize now because that ain't my style. I said, okay, well, we about to go for round two.
From this one, because he says, I'm about to nut up. And then she says, what's wrong? I think he realizes that he's about to nut in this moment and they're getting there. But then I think that's when he realized he doesn't have something important, but I'm not sure.
Oh, guess it's too late to turn back now. Like, take my penis out of you and go to the convenience store to get condoms.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
Maybe.
Okay. I had read it the same way as Akua. I also want to say, the only thing I knew about this song was, that's what it's made for. I had no idea what this song is about. I don't even know these lyrics.
My girl said there are words.
If you're watching the video version, you see my face. I'm like, what?
So the chorus is, go on and hit it. That's what it's made for. We got protection. That's what it's made for. Boo, why are you tripping now? You know I got it. You know I have the protection. That's what it's made for. So I can do you like this. So I can freak you like this. No, you ain't felt it like this. And it says, girl, I forgot it, but we still gonna get down like this.
I hate niggas. I'm sorry.
Did he forget? So or was what are you talking about?
Shoots a whole commercial. It sounds like he's lying, bro. I don't know. Because then the next line, this has always been because the music stops and you go, game rules, no cap, no cut. So the rules are, if there's no condom, you don't get the fuck. So you know this. So it does feel a little devious because it's like, in knowing that, you're still like, yo, this is what it's made for. Of course I have it. And then later on, oh my God, he starts harmonizing anyway. But then he says, but even Superman couldn't turn your love down. I slipped up, slipped in. Hey man, what the hell are you doing? Raw dog is a never. I know better. But I heard her whisper, don't worry, I'm safe. It didn't matter because it's already too late. I was lost in the sauce, dead wrong. But I ain't stopping now. Parlaying in the bush again. Didn't think about what I was putting in it. That parlaying in the bush again line is wild.
This is a very visual song.
It's a very visual song. Okay.
A failed pullout method.
And so then it's the same thing. It's like, go on and hit it. That's what it's made for. And she said, you got something on, right? That's what it's made for. But it's also feeling like, it's not starting to get creepy because she said, you got something on, right? And then he keeps going. And then he's like, I forgot it, but we still can get down like this. Best stay where you are. That's what it's made for. Player, put it down. That's what it's made for. And then later on, it's just like a kind of like a scene thing where they're like having sex and he just keeps harmonizing. But it's the same.
I don't think I've ever heard this song in my time. I've heard like snippets of this shit on the radio. I've never heard this full song.
Okay, so it's the she said you got something on, right, that has just thrown me for a loop now. Because...
Yeah, exactly. And I read that and I didn't know that was there and it made me like, I was like, oh, this is...
So I think that what he's trying to put out for the world is a story about him knowing to always use protection but got caught up in the moment, slipped in, and here we're going.
Exactly.
But like... At any point you can stop and put on a condom, you know, like we can, maybe not for STI purposes because we're already here, but for pregnancy purposes, sure. And that's how he ended up with that baby after in the next
exactly
song. because you wasn't listening.
I think this is literally him talking about ending up with the baby in Confessions. And
like, yes, it is. It's the whole story.
But why didn't he, like, you don't got plan B, Usher?
He don't got no plans other than this and then making a song afterwards. That's the only
thing. Have you ever been in that situation? You got something on, right?
I don't want to blame
this person who does or does not exist, but like, you got to check for yourself too, you know?
Like, at some point, I'm going to see you put on a condom.
Yeah, it doesn't just
It's a whole thing. It doesn't magically happen. I don't lay there with my eyes closed.
No, they show up like with it, cool. Niggas don't show up to your ass wearing condoms.
I mean, I'm just kidding. No. They don't pull out with the condom already on because I'm concerned now. We got to change that out. I don't even know why. I don't even know where it's been. Take that off. Let's run two things with that another one. But like, I direct you to the condoms I have. I watch you open it and put it on and you come back. Like, it's not this magical thing that appears.
Yes.
Well, that's what us were singing about. And I just wanted you to know that.
Was that your analysis? Just like, oh shit, that's what he was talking about?
Yeah.
That's what he was talking about. Now, I've been in the situation where things have gotten hot and heavy and penetration has started without a condom.
I have been.
And
there.
It's like, ooh, here we are. But we gonna get a condom.
I just imagine him starting to sing like while it was happening, and I'd be like, boy, if you don't stop and get a fucking condom, son, what are you singing about, bro? That's what I keep thinking about. Like him just like, oops, start dancing behind the puss and shit, and then just doesn't get a condom. And it's like, please get a condom.
He's trying to hoodwink her with his dance moves.
That's what I'm trying to hoodwink her.
That's mad funny.
I'm done.
Okay.
Oh, but yeah. Okay. Usher's
he out here road dogging, talking about he know better. Do you, Usher? Do
so
you?
So what? Did Confessions you? Was like a that was like a fictional album, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Apparently.
Okay.
Okay, because I actually thought it happened.
I think
it
was I said,
wasn't it kind of based on a like his relationship with Chili from TLC?
Yeah,
but not exactly.
But then I also thought that was like. I didn't even know if he really had a relationship with Chili, because I have a theory that like it was only for those 4 music videos back in the day, and everyone just kind of assumed they were together. And I was like, nah, this is just for You Got a Dad and You Don't Have to Call. So I don't actually believe they're together.
Maybe so. I don't know. I like that conspiracy theory. That's a good conspiracy theory.
I can get behind that. A whole relationship as a publicity stunt.
That'd be happening.
Dude.
All right, let's get into Ludacris.
Hey. So I don't remember what I was doing that this came into my mind, but the idea of doing the song came into my mind. I said, you know what? Let me email it. And I emailed it as we are instructed to. I wish I had wrote down the thought process before. But what I did know was that I wanted to cleanse the palate after the way that Sam and Rodeca decimated PD Pablo. And I was like, we gotta give the people something good to hold on to. So we will be doing What's Your Fantasy by Ludacris. Okay. So of course the lyrics go, I wanna lick you from your head.
Now you gotta do lick, man. Come on. I know you read it, but you wanna
Now I can sing. I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. And I wanna move from the bed down to the floor. And I wanna you mix so good, I don't wanna leave, but I gotta what's your fancy to see? I wanna lick you from your head to your toes. Okay, that's the chorus. Cool. I don't know if I can. We should have had our friend Brianna, because she could have wrapped the whole thing.
Paul Brianna. That's so funny that she can do that.
She can wrap the whole song. I'm going to get you in the Georgia Dome on the 50-yard line while the Dirty Birds kick for 3. And if you like it in the club, we can do it in the DJ booth or in the back of the VIP. Whipped cream with cherries and strawberries on top. Lick it, don't stop. Keep the door locked, don't knock. While the boat rock, we got bots and robots, so they gotta wait till the show stop. Or how about on the beach with black sand? Lick up your thigh and call the Pac-Man. Tabletop, or just give me a lap dance. The rock to the park, to the point, to the flatlands. That man ain't ludicrous. Ooh, in the public bathroom, or in the back of the classroom. However you want it, lover gonna tap that ass soon. See, I cast them and I pass them. Get tight grip and I grasp them. I flash them and outlast them. And if I ain't good, then I trash them while you stash them. I'll let them free and you tell them what's your fantasy. Like up on the roof. Tell your boyfriend not to be mad at me. I wanna. So I'm like Petey, who only gave us 3 options.
Okay. Yes. This is the antithesis.
Ludacris said, I got all the things for you, girl. Let me hear what you want and I'ma do it. You want it here, you want it there. He named the here and there. This is
actual places, yeah. not in the chair like PD Pablo.
He offered me an island with black sand. What island is that?
Yeah, somewhere in the Pacific.
Like, where are we going in the black sand? I don't want it in the sand, but we got black sands, we got classrooms, we got public bathrooms. The man said anywhere you're thinking about is a DJ booth in the back of the VIP in the club, on the football, y'all.
Yeah, it's good. I like these options. Is he good at these sex? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's not a guarantee.
But I do like the novelty of it.
He's starting off strong.
Yes.
You know?
We're going to go into the second.
I mean, at least he does say, I want to lick you. And from your head to your toes, that does include your clitoris. So that's something Petey Pablo wasn't doing. He was like, I ain't
doing none of that.
Yeah, I ain't drunk. I ain't not doing that. So, yeah.
A second verse, and I can't remember the cadence of this. I want to get you in the bathtub. Once you start, it just kind of flows.
Obviously, you can't remember the flow. You immediately was like, and I'm going to get you in the bathtub. I was like, okay.
The moment I said it, it just was like, I want to get you in the bathtub with the candles lit. Give it up till you go out, until they go out. Or you can do it on the stage of the Ludacris concert because you know it got sold out. Sir, we fucking
I love that for two reasons. Like, ooh, voyeurism. But it's also like, damn, nigga, you sold out that show? Concert.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It is voyeurism. It's exhibitionism.
It's I'm that niggaism.
I'm that niggaism. Big dick exactly. Energy. I love it. Or red carpet dick, you could just roll out, go ahead and scream, you can't hold out. We can do it in a pouring rain, running the train while it's hot or when it's cold out. How about in the library on top of books, but you can't be too loud. Now, I love that.
As a kid, I love this part. No,
I love that part. Because I was such a book nerd. But also, so like we doing things in the library, number one.
You nasty.
But number two. Yeah. I'm a very loud person. So if my partner is like trying to keep me quiet, that's just like excitement. I'm like, can we keep quiet? Let's see. I'll hop out in the library on top of books, but you can't be too loud. You want to make a brother beg for it. Give me TLC because you know I'd be too proud. We could do it in the White House, trying to make them turn the lights out. Champagne with my campaign. Let me do the damn thing. What's my name? Sauna, jacuzzi, in the back row at the movies. You can scratch my back and rule me. You can push me and just pull me on hay in the middle of the barn. Ooh, rose petals on the silk sheets, eating fresh fruit, sweeping woman right off of her feet. We fucked everywhere at this point. The man took me to the farm, to the movies, to the White House.
Remember in that pandemic era when everybody was doing the verses or whatever, and Ludacris did the verses with Nelly?
He did do that.
See, okay. Wow. So I was particularly excited. People were like, these niggas ain't real hip hop. They ain't talking about real shit. Fuck real hip hop. Those niggas be dumb as hell. Conscious ass niggas. But I was very excited for that because I've like always loved Ludacris.
Really?
And I think that he's just like, he's very charismatic. He's funny. He's cute to me, and I feel like he's good at sex, and I think that I interpreted that as a child.
Good at sex.
Yeah. He definitely gives off that air.
He wants to please, yo. And he wants to do adventurous and novel things, which is very important to me.
And that's what catches the Sam. She's like, I'm going to the Black Sand and a White House. Let's go, you nigga. We fucking all across.
We farming up in the middle of the hay.
Last verse, because he kept going. I didn't realize how long this song was, but this man has given all the options.
The iconic line.
I'm going to get you in the back seat, windows up. That's the way you like to fuck. Clogged up, fog alert, rip the pants and rip the shirt. Rough sex, make it hurt. All in the garden, all in the dirt. Roll around Georgia Brown, that's the way I like it twerk. Legs jerked, overwork, underpaid, but don't be afraid. In the sun or up in the shade. On the top of my Escalade. On the top of your Escalade. No, no. Back in the 2000s, Escalade was that thing.
Sir, give me your Cadillac.
Maybe a girl and my friend can trade, tag team off the ropes, on the ocean or in the boat, factories on hundreds spokes. What about in the candy store with that chocolate, make it melt, whips and chains, handcuffs, smack a little booty up with my belt, scream help, play my game, Dracula man, I get my fangs, horseback and I'll get my reins, school teacher, let me get my brains. Sir! He did it for me.
Sounds fun. He's trying to have fun.
Yes, go get your belt. Let's do it.
He got props. He got locations. This is an itinerary ass nigga. This is why I identify with this, actually. We are planning.
That's the real reason.
We are planning things.
Itinerary kink, yo. We got a plan.
I'm sorry that took me out. Oh man. Yeah, like it really was like, what's your fantasy? And if you stuck, let me give you as many options as I can. He is interested about what I'm interested in and then fielding out other fantasies. Sir. <That's> exactly. Sir. Right.
A ludicrous.
I was just about to say this. And again, he wants to literally lick me from my head to my toes. Please do. He wants to move from the bed down to the floor. He want to make it so good. I don't want to leave.
He stands up. He stands up from the floor and he's like, let's go here. Let's go here.
I tell you.
Love it.
See, he's dancing behind the puss in a positive way, though. In a like, that's what I want. Tell me what you're gonna do it, bro.
So yes, that is What's Your Fantasy by Ludacris. I hope that that was a palate cleanser.
A great palate cleanser. After this whole season of all of these terrible, terrible songs, I love that. That's the perfect way to end the season.
That was perfect.
Always end on a good note.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Ooh. All right, let's get into our next segment.
He humped a male dog. The owner said, this dog must be gay.
This next segment is called Animals Do Be Gay, Though. And this is a segment where we acknowledge and discuss the diverse sexual identities of animals. So I came across this article in PopSci, which is actually an excerpt of a book. The book is by Rachel Feltman. The book is called Been There, Done That, Arousing History of Sex. It is literally a history of sex and kind of like in a myth debunking kind of way. Like, you thought you knew this, but it's actually so much more. It's actually a way more fluid and nuanced than you thought. So they have this section in this excerpt about salamanders, and I felt like that's some queer shit that these salamanders are doing, but I don't know if that there's a word for it. So let's see if we can figure it out together as I read this excerpt. Sounds good?
Yeah, let's go.
And I'll put the link to the full thing in the show notes. Several quote-unquote species, cough cough, that'll make sense later, of the salamander genus Abistoma have been female only for millions of years. But they don't rely on anything as pedestrian as asexual cloning to keep their good thing going. Instead, these lizard ladies, tied together only by shared mitochondrial DNA, which is the parcel that mothers pass on wholesale to their offspring without any paternal genes, any paternal DNA cutting in, mate with males of several species in their genus to collect an assortment of genes. They use some combination of these genes or none of them at all when they create their children. These bitches are witches. They're gay witches.
Or none of them at all.
Exactly. Or now they're just like, oh, let me collect. Oh, I don't like that. Toss it away. Like, they're brewing some things.
I love it.
They are gay witches.
All right, continuing. Research suggests the lineage has at times gone for millions of years without any outside influence, but the mamas can at any point choose to shake things up with a random smattering of stolen DNA.
Wow.
They're witches and scientists at the same time. A mom might even pass along a combination of up to 5 different male genomes when leaving her own genes out entirely. Save for mitochondrial DNA that makes this species an identifiable family. The method of reproduction is called kleptogenesis. So these bitches are thieves too. They're honestly my favorite animals now.
I love it!
Which is one of the coolest words you'll ever learn. It results in a quote-unquote species defined only by the tiniest shared portion of DNA and by a tendency to screw around with other species.
I love it.
Wow.
Fucking love
it. They're gay, they're poly, they're witches, they're fucking queer platonic. It's everything. They're everything that I love.
That's why you couldn't find just one word.
Exactly. It's just queer.
Because it's everything.
Everything. You're right.
It's just queer.
Right.
I'm trying to like put this into like human terms. You ever watch an episode of Maury where they got two twins and two fathers and they got two different fathers?
Yo.
That's what's happening here. My girl said, I'm sampling. I'ma choose which one. Maybe I want the green eyes from this nigga and the brown hair from that nigga. Let's go. I'm building. It's a build-a-bear in the utero.
I love it.
They said, I'm collecting all the DNA I want. I'm going to piece and parse them together. Or I'm going to cast out all of it. Didn't want anything. We're cloning now. Let's go, bitch.
If you could have 5 different baby daddies, Who would you choose?
Straight up? Straight off rip? I don't know.
Off rip, I know.
It's like I was going to start thinking of something. I was like, nah, I wouldn't want that.
But I really don't got nobody.
Yahya Abdul-Mateen is always in my top five of anything.
Ooh. Of course. Yes. Oh, yeah. And then Winston Duke, you throw him in there.
I like that.
Let me see.
Mine is going to be niggas like Frank Ocean. You know.
Not a sprinkle of Frank Ocean.
Yeah, and then what's even the reproductive benefit if they're all like Frank Ocean, Rebecca? Just fuck Frank Ocean.
Frank Ocean.
You know when they the fucking dial on the top five rappers, I'm going to say, you know what? Frank Ocean. Nah, there's other people. I just got to think about it.
Carlin said the salamanders are when you double major in biology and gender and women's studies. Yes, exactly.
Nice.
Yes.
The minor in African American studies, but it's like a focus on spirit. It's a focus on spirituality. Yes, hoodoo ass.
Okay. Yahya, Winston. Who is that light skinned man with the green eyes that's always evil?
Michael Ealy?
I would have said Michael Ealy, but I feel like he's so not Michael always Ealy. Evil.
I feel like he's always evil. He's I would say he's always like evil. I see him.
I think he's often
okay. Evil. Okay. I don't think I've ever seen him in a good role. But I don't watch a lot of movies, so maybe y'all got some where he was a nice person. Throw Michael Ealy in there. Jason Momoa.
Ooh, true. Yes, Aquaman jeans.
Because I like them big and I like them dark. I like them big. I like them dark. Like though Michael Ealy's just light and pretty, but you throw him in there real quick. I got four. I need one more
baby daddy. What other?
Did you say Idris?
No, she didn't say Idris.
Nah, I would have said Idris in a past life, but no.
What do you want them to be? Like, I get, like, what is heritable, though? That's the next season of
Endless Genes. You know, the funny thing is, no, but I would be I'd be the salamander where I fucking collect all their genes and be like, nah, I want another one. Looks like me. Make me another Dave.
Oh, that's so cute.
That was all cute. Make another one look just like me.
Wait, these bitches are also Professor X from the Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
I loved it.
You said they were scientists.
Nah, they're really out here working
sugar, spice, and
everything. My question is, are witches much different from scientists?
You're making a point.
Asking a real question.
You're making a point.
Yeah.
Witch doctors. It's witch and doctor. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to something a little bit different than that. But first, we're going on break for the next 3 months because hoes need rest too. But we'll still be accessible for a little change. For the low, low of $2 a month, you can support your fave queer black feminist-led sex podcast and have access to the weekly content, hangouts, and resources we will be putting up for you on Patreon during the break. If you're not down with that and still want to monetarily support, you can hit our PayPal links. Links to both our Patreon and our PayPal are in the show notes. Let's move on to our next segment. This is Fuck It. It is our topic of the day, and today we're talking about... What are we talking about, Rebecca?
We are talking about relationship anarchy. Again. But this time. Again.
We're bringing it back.
Yay! So I wanted to talk about relationship anarchy. And obviously, I guess I changed something in my intro to reflect where my mind is at. So it just feels timely. So I previously identified not pretty strongly, I don't know why I was going to say that, but pretty strongly as a polyamorous person. In my most recent relationship, I identified a lot of things with myself in terms of like how I want to love or like what my sexuality looks like. And, you know, I found myself doing a lot of research about like how I was feeling. Mainly, I always felt like compersion was something that like would just happen. And I was like, let me read how to like elicit compersion or like work through that. Or, you know, cause I could range from being like kind of jealous about like a meta or anything like that. But usually it lies between like, not indifference because I do
say
care.
What meta is for the 101 people as well as compersion.
Sure. So Meta would be like my partner's partner or person that they're currently in a relationship with. And compersion is the feeling of like happiness for, or just general like gung-ho-ness about my partner getting love that they deserve, you know? And I always felt like I was kind of failing polyamory because of the fact that I didn't feel compersion all the time, which is not true, obviously. But it led me down this rabbit hole of like, let me look at stuff, but also like reassessing my feelings, because in my current relationship, I don't feel that drive to want to be in another romantic relationship. But I do have those moments where I'm like, oh, yeah, I could do things sexually. And but like in terms of like developing feelings and starting another relationship where I had felt very strongly about that in the past, I felt myself not feeling that. And then I think I mentioned it a couple of episodes ago where I was just like, am I performing polyamory? But that's like, even if you're not actively doing something, it doesn't mean it's like not true to you. But then I kept seeing relationship anarchy come up. And it was something that I had mentioned to my current partner now as something that they might want to look into before we got together, as like a way to like kind of assess their feelings about relationships. And then it started to resonate with me. So with that being said, I'm going to read an article from Mind Body Green. It's a beginner's guide to relationship anarchy. It's got some really good points. And I'd like to just like talk about them, obviously. So what is relationship anarchy? Relationship anarchy is a way of approaching relationships that rejects any rules and expectations other than the ones that the involved people agree upon. This approach encourages people to let their core values guide how they choose and craft their relationship commitments rather than relying on social norms to dictate what is right with for you. People who practice relationship anarchy, sometimes abbreviated as RA, are beholden to themselves and only themselves when it comes to choosing who they conduct sexual or romantic relationships with and how they do it. Relationship anarchists look to form relationships with people that are based entirely on needs, wants, and desires rather than on socially mandated labels and expectations. An RA mindset is also seeks to dissolve the strict divides between platonic friendship and sexual or romantic love that exists in wider society. Practitioners of relationship anarchy see it as superfluous. As soon as I saw the word, I was like, yo, you don't know how to say it. So I was like, superfluous at best and harmful at worst, to rank relationships in order of importance according to the presence of sex or romantic love. And they reject the prioritization of romance above friendship and the elevation of monogamous couple above all, of the monogamous couple above all else, which to me feels like polyamory, but it feels like it's more like it's obviously have a different name. Like you can be, I've read that you can be polyamorous and a relationship anarchist. So obviously there's going to be things that overlap, but to put them in the same bubble, there are some differences, because I know people who, you know, I mean, in any type of relationship style, like you can practice it kind of like unethically or just kind of like whatever. But like with poly, a lot of the time it's focusing on like, even in the structure of like being open, you're still structuring it and like, oh, now we have a triad, now we have an open V, now we have this. And relationship anarchy is kind of like, this is the person that I'm showing you. We have our rules, we have our things, we have things that we understand, and it's just, it's between us. And that person can have something between another person that makes sense to them. And I feel like that's kind of how I've always been, but it's more relevant now, because it's really just like kind of going with whatever it is that me and my current partner talk about, which can be interesting. But yeah, so there's also a manifesto for relationship anarchy. This I don't really like. In calling myself a relationship anarchist, I'm not saying that I follow this manifesto, but I do think it's pretty cool because it's a couple of different like things that they live by that I think are nice. So number one is love is abundant and every relationship is unique. So love is not a limited resource. You can love multiple people without detracting from the love that you feel for each of them. Every relationship that you have is an entirely new creation between its two or more parties and should be approached as such. Two, love and respect instead of entitlement. Your bond with someone does not give you the right to control or coerce them. They are an autonomous person who can act as they wish to. Love is not a byword for bossing someone around, nor is love only real when we're willing to commit to compromise parts of ourselves for others. Three, find your core set of relationship values. Focus on what what you want and need when it comes to how you will treat and be treated by others. Don't be tempted to compromise on your inner values in order to try and keep a relationship that no longer serves you. Oh, okay. I thought I read this wrong, but anyway, heterosexism is rampant and out there, but don't let fear lead you. Be mindful of the way in which heterosexism, which is the assumption that heterosexuality is the only correct, moral, and desirable way to organize relationships, can corrupt your ideas about what is acceptable within relationships. Stay aware of assumptions you hold about your gender means with relation to love and work to untangle them. 5 is build for the lovely and unexpected. So be spontaneous in your connections. Don't feel held back by the shoulds or the ought tos. 6, fake it till you make it, which I thought was great because a lot of the time I was like, well, not a lot of time, but like it, with the lack of compersion, I did feel like I often would be like, yay. But then I learned that faking it doesn't mean lying about it. I could be like, hey, I want to feel these things. Mm. And I'm like working towards the pattern of feeling these things. Work with me. That's kind of how I fake it till I make it, as opposed to where I used to hold everything in because it felt like I was somehow like not being cool about everything, mm-hmm. which is like not a part of what it's supposed to be. And it's not about being cool. It's about being honest, but also, you know, learning that some things you will have to just like get through mm-hmm. through time. Mm-hmm. 7, trust is better. Choose to assume that your partner wants the best for you. When we approach our relationships with a bedrock of trust, we do not engage in a validation seeking behaviors that can drive unions apart. Mm. 8, change through communication, which is pretty obvious. And then 9, customize your commitments. Do you want to have children together but never move in together? Mm. Do you want to get married but never have children? Do you want to maintain separate homes but be committed life partners? Whatever it is that you want, you have the power. I think of a cool in her bridge.
It's a cool.
Yeah, you know, and that's a part of it. You know what yes. I mean? Like, whatever it is that you want, you have the power to make that happen. You don't have to travel along the accepted relationship escalator of dating exclusively, moving in, married, getting, having children, etc. And then, yeah. So I just wanted to have a little brief reintroduction to me as a relationship anarchist and what that means. And yeah, it's been a good rediscovery.
All of that resonates with me. I don't know if I'll call myself a relationship anarchist, but y'all know I don't like labels because I don't fit in anyway.
One might say the lack of labels is anarchy.
Exactly.
But yeah, a lot of this jives with me and how I've been navigating the world lately. And I like it. Yeah. Thank you for bringing this to the table so I can read more up on it.
Thank you. You know, I thought I'd share. Like,
fuck all the other things I used to do. Like, fuck it all. I'm just building from scratch today. Like, we are building from scratch. And we about to do whatever the fuck we want to do.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I appreciate that, Rebecca. Thank you. What most resonates with me is the building outside of societal norms. Because those are fake.
Yeah.
And they don't work for most people.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Shall we move on?
Yeah, I think so.
Well, speaking of Kua, oh, I like that. I like. What else do you like, bitch? But let me actually let me introduce the segment first. Let's move on. Black China was tiger pum pum. Kylie Jenner used PR pum pum. Take a tiger from China pum. So China does Kylie brother pum. Let's move to Fuck Me. This is the segment about our sexual, romantic, and or dating lives. And I've written down, Akua is happy as hell.
I love it. Akua is happy as hell. Do y'all see the smile?
Woo!
So I'm cute. Always smiling. But yes, Akua is happy as hell. So Akua is happy as hell because she's recently been partnered. Mind blown, right? Just never thought we was gonna see the day. I'm going to be writing and taking notes because I discussed them. My partner's name is Ivan. Funny backstory, Sam matched us up. And
wow.
She be doing the things. If you need a partner, go to Sam. She gonna find somebody for you. She heard my cries of no longer wanting to do the apps. And really, you know, like go to the old school way of dating people, have people that are vetted through people. And she did the things. She listened to my feedback before. She did some things. So yeah, I was talking to him, knowing that we were going to do this. I asked him how he felt about me talking about the relationship. And he was like, cool, whatever you want to say, it's fine. I was like, all right, because I be chatting. I'm going to take some notes and I'm going to run them back by you. And then if there's anything you don't like, I can have Sam like cut them out for you. So see, already growth. Look at that. So I'm going to be taking some notes as I chat. But yeah, so I am partnered officially since May. Let me get this right because he's going to be mad.
Can we put a disclaimer that he will not actually beat your ass?
He will not.
That's the first note take. Like, let's put an actual disclaimer in there.
But because it was at brunch, we went to brunch with Sam for her partner's birthday. And one of his friends asked how long we had been together. And I was like, it's been like 4 days. And he was like, bitch, it's been like 14, like 21. And I was like, time is a lot. Like, time is a construct. You know, I just don't feel time when we're together. Aww. But also, what has May been?
That's true.
Literally, it was just the beginning. But partnered since May 4th.
May the 4th be with you. Do any of y'all even like Star Wars? That's no, not even neither fair. Let's change the fucking Cinco de Mayo. Taking the nerd day for your love. Just
but had been dating since like late February, early March, or late March, sometime in the areas. I don't know what to say. You guys can ask questions. I don't know how to guide this along.
What was the decision like to be officially partnered? Like, how did that conversation come up? And also, what do you both like about each other? Like, what are you doing? How are you having fun? What do you like about him? What does he like about you? All that kind of stuff.
Okay, so there were lots of talks about, because at a point we were dating and he wasn't dating anyone else and I wasn't romantically seeing someone else, and we were talking about like being exclusive. And I had like loose ends to tie up because I was in a very casual relationship with this guy. And remember the one I was having great sex with?
That was going to be my next question.
what is the question?
Well, answer your current trajectory first.
Okay. So we had lots of talks about that. And, you know, I was kind of mulling it over, speaking to different people. And they're like, well, what's the difference between what you're doing now and like dating exclusively? I'm like, I have to tie up loose ends. And the fact that we hadn't had sex yet. And very much I'm a person who in past relationships, we've had sex before we made it official. Like, I have to sample the milk. I don't know what this cow about to do. Like, and I don't know why we weren't fucking. I don't think there was really a reason. We were just like truly enjoying each other's company and just like caught in a whirlwind. And like sex just was not on the radar for us. Like, it wasn't. But I had made a joke because we were now planning like several trips in advance of like, we're going here, we're flying here, I'm buying tickets. And I'm like, at some point we got to fuck before we go on vacation, because I'd be damned if I'm going on vacation not fucking. Like, so I'm like, our first trip away is June. By June, we going to be fucking. Like, that's just the timeline for me. I'm going to clue him in on it so we understand. But like, because what am I supposed, what are we about to do?
What are we about to do?
That's so funny. As someone who's going on vacation with Akua in like a month, I'm not going to have sex with you, bitch.
Fine. Shoot.
Because you are a sister to me.
Whatever. So where was I with that? So yeah, that was like the only thing. At some point I took the step in ending the sexual relationship I was in, just because it really wasn't doing much for me anyway. I was getting to a point, this is where my demisexualness clashes with sexual sex, in that like there were certain things that he was doing that would like lose my interest. Like, he wouldn't prioritize me. We made plans to link up and then he like dropped me last minute. Like, I didn't feel cared for, you know, and all of that was like really, really starting to like be more evident and rub me in the wrong way. Still great sex though. Don't know how that happens, but
it do be like that.
So at that point I was like, I had gotten to a point where I was like, all right, he and I aren't going to link up. The longer this goes on with Ivan, it's going to get into murky waters. Let me like kind of cut this off now. So I cut that off. And then I think like 2 weeks later, he asked me to be his girlfriend. And I said, yeah. And that's that. What do I like about him? We like that we are so similar.
Woo!
In many ways. So he's a Pisces. I think you and Rosecca, you guys have the same birthday.
No way.
The third, yeah. but we are so similar in so many ways, and mannerisms and ideologies and political views and values. And it's just these weird ways that we're dissimilar. Like this morning he was here and he left. But this morning I was making breakfast and I asked him if he wanted orange juice. We're talking about like favorite juices or whatever, and how my son doesn't like orange juice. And I was like, have you ever tried like mixing orange and apple? And he looked at me like I just said, have I tried killing babies? and I was like, he was like, no, like he doesn't mix juices. I was like, unless it's like a punch or something. I'm like, but you see how great punch turned out, my nigga.
Yeah.
Why not try it with other things? He's just like, no. And I'm like, we should have talked about this on our first date because it's not going to work. Or I love eggs and I love breakfast foods and he's not a breakfast person. But very much alike in so many ways than we are different. And the ways that we are different really complement each other. Yeah.
I was going to say, I want to say that I like that because there's this pervasive societal belief that, oh, opposites attract, and that's like the best foundations for a relationship. But that really don't be the case like that.
Yo. And it's 3 seconds is just literally like, I agree with the idea that for a long time, I thought it had to be like, challenge yourself, have people who are the opposite in this venture. Yo, it's just been so refreshing. Where it's just like, I'll say something and you understand it. And we're both like, wow, this is great. There's nothing to figure out. We just understand each other. And it's been so smooth with everything. Mine is a little wilder. You know, we live together now. So clearly, you know, it's a little crazy. But yeah, things are good. Yeah.
And that has to be a Pisces thing because I swear to God, we will live together. We're already planning and moving together in a year.
That was my next question. What are your plans? What are these trips you're planning? What are your fun plans? Yeah. And what are your like big plans? Long-term plans. Yeah.
Let me write that down.
And then also, what has it been like with him interacting with little Davy boy?
Oh, yeah. Because I just heard you say big he was Davy over there. Boy. And I was like, wait a minute.
So in terms of plans, it was originally my goal to do a getaway every weekend of the month, and I forgot, like, I work and I'm tired, but I'm really on the trajectory of that either way. So June, he wants me to go to his college reunion with him. We were supposed to go to Montauk, and that was like a group thing we were planning, and then Miami in July, and then it was San Diego in August, and then it was Jamaica in December.
Ooh. Did we also mention that he is a Jamaican man?
Y'all know I'm a Davy of Jamaica.
Aku is always an honorary Jamaican.
I'm always dating someone's Jamaican man. Oh, Joe. But yes. So those were the plans short term. I think there were a couple, and I'm forgetting. He like sends me all these calendar invites because I'm like, we talk about it, but if I didn't write it down, I'm a liar. So,
he's so good for you.
That was weird too. I was like, yo, get on this calendar with me, boys.
Get on this calendar with me. So there are other little trips interspersed, but those are the main ones that I can remember. Long-term plans. We are talking about engagement and marriage. We're talking about living together. Yes. He supposedly has picked out a ring for me. I was like, I'll be having
my wedding dress in the closet.
Oh, no. For our wedding, it's not a wedding. It's a lunch so that we can be at the airport by 5 and go to our honeymoon because that's what we're really trying to do. So it's like reception, lunch, bye. Y'all figure that out. And it worked out because I've never wanted a big wedding. I just wanted the wedding dress and then I wanted to go on vacation. And then we're thinking of moving. He wants to move closer to the city, but not in the city. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we'll see where we are in a year and how that works out.
I love
wow.
it.
Holy shit.
With him meeting Dave, he met Dave when I was at a baby shower that I was hosting, and Dave was there. He had finished with his things early, so he was like, hey, come by. And you know, I asked him to come, and he met Dave initially at that baby shower. He thought that Dave didn't like him. Dave was a little jealous because he just doesn't like other people like taking my attention. He's like, ooh, is that Ivan? You're going on another date with Ivan, you know, kind of being snarky. But I know, like, he didn't hate him, but of course I know my child and he didn't know him. So he was like very worried that Dave didn't like him. And I was like, Dave likes everybody. I've yet to meet a person that Dave does not like. So you literally have to be a serial killer for my child to be like, I don't fuck with you. But now they have like their own little bromance. Like I made the mistake. So I think he left class early and he met me at my job or something. We linked up somewhere, and then we went to go get Dave after work when I was finished with work. And I made that mistake of picking me and him picking Dave up one time. Every time I get my child from school, is Ivan here? Nigga.
That has never been the case.
Every morning I wake up, is Ivan still here? Nigga, Ivan don't live here. It does not. No, Ivan's not here. Ivan went to his house. Like, he asked for him more than I do. Last Saturday, they had their own little boys' day out. They had a little date, and they went to go see Doctor Strange while I was out doing my thottish thing. And they enjoyed themselves. Dave texted me. He was like, me and Ivan are running away. And I was like, I had already come home, but I left my keys in the house. I left my keys in Ivan's car. So I was like, can y'all just come back and let me in the house? Y'all
can run away afterwards.
But I need to get in my house. And he was just leaving now. He had spent the night. He was just leaving now. And he was like, all right, Dave, I'm leaving. I'll come back. And Dave was like, you promise? And I was like, this nigga don't care when I leave. Dave's definitely warmed up to him, and they're enjoying each other's company. And I'm actually really happy to be in a relationship. Like, usually, I can get into this whole subject. But usually I'm very skittish about Dave and meeting people that I'm dating, because you never know if it's going to last. And mm-hmm. like, this was in a time that I questioned, oh, is it too early for him to meet Dave? Like, people have gone half a month without meeting my child, knowing of him, but like them interacting was a no-no. Mm-hmm. Partly because he was young and I didn't want like a lot of people entering and exiting mm-hmm. out of his life. That can be traumatic for some mm-hmm. kids. But he's like 13 now. And, you know, he understands the natures of relationships mm-hmm. as he watches his friends enter and exit relationships every 3 days. And, you know, he has his own crushes. So I think this gels well with the timeline that he's in, that like, even if me and Ivan don't work out, I wouldn't worry about him taking it as hard as he did with my last relationship.
That's good.
All good things.
This yes. is amazing.
Yeah.
Now on to the sex, because this is a sex podcast.
It's a sex, love, and dating podcast, for sure.
So something I've been navigating, which I've really been thinking about lately, is that if we're talking in terms of like attachment styles, he's a very secure person, mm-hmm. Has a lot of secure attachments, and I have a very disorganized attachment style. Mm-hmm. But in dating him, a lot of things have been like, I don't want to use the word triggered, but a lot of things have been activated for me. And I've realized, and like kind of thinking about and processing it, that I'm very used to dating emotionally unavailable men. Like, I didn't realize how used to it that I was until I got into this relationship. And it's thrown me for a loop, because it feels like things have moved fast, but they haven't, because one, we're mad grown, we know what we want. But two, I'm used to chasing niggas for 8 months to realize I'm the one. And then like, that's the timeline, like moving so slow and being breadcrumbed for so long that it feels like, oh, it should take 6 months, 8 months, 9 months, not 2 weeks, you know? So I've just kind of been thinking about that and how those past interactions have really affected me. Like, I've had a lot of anxiety regarding this relationship, and that has lowered my sex drive. I can't be fucking when I'm anxious. So like I was thinking about it, like I'm typically having more sex in a relationship, but I'm like shying away from intimate things. And I'm like, there's a lot of anxiety in the background for me of like waiting for the bottom to fall out and for this man to ghost me and for like things to just take a unmarketed left, you know, out of nowhere. I'm thinking it's going great and boom, just gone. I'm kind of working through that and kind of identifying the green flags instead of looking for the red flags. Identifying the green flags and really just taking the leap of faith. Like at the end of the day, the relationship is going to end up in two ways. We can take all the paths, but either we're going to be together, we're going to break up, you know, and there's really not much I can do, but to avoid that, to circumvent that, but try my best in this relationship and see where it goes. Yes. So it's been interesting.
What a lovely ride you're on.
It's just a roller coaster. It's a small one though, but it's a roller coaster. It's a
baby roller coaster at the fair.
It's a baby roller coaster. I've done a lot of work with myself and in therapy that I'm not like spiraling in this, because a different occlude, like we be cutting and running. And I see points in which my attachment style does that. Like I'm scared and I'll like start to distance myself or find things that I don't like about him or things that annoy me about him. And then like I have to check in with myself like, Akua, this is literally what you said you wanted. Like you said you wanted a man up your ass, and now you mad to be up your ass. What the man supposed to do? How does he win in that? And kind of realizing like this is me trying to create distance, emotional distance, so that I feel safer, even though that's not what I want, because then it just, you know, it puts me right back in the same circular path. Mm-hmm. And I'm trying to get out of that. So yeah, it's been interesting. It's been a time for me emotionally trying to like figure this out, and it's a lot of work. And I kind of have to remind myself to like loop him in. Mm-hmm. Because of course he doesn't know what's going on in my head. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let me, you know, loop you in on this so you don't think one thing. But like, I'm slow to warm up. Like, because I told him about my anxiety. He's like, so what can I do like to support you? I'm like, you just got to be you. You just got to keep showing up and being consistent. Eventually, like, it would subside for me. Like, don't switch up on a bitch. Mm-hmm. Then,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't try nothing fancy. Don't do nothing. Just be you. Because the lightest switch up, like, aha, we knew that nigga was going to switch up, positive or negative. And now I'm back, you know, in this anxious turmoil. It's been a time. I didn't know I was so relationshiply fucked up. Like, I was like, we just gonna have to add this to the list of therapy sessions, okay? Topics. Here I am focusing on parenting. No. We gotta go back.
I'm really fucking happy for you, bro.
Me too.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm very happy for me too. Any other questions? What about y'all back there being quiet?
Yeah. Let's open up the floor in this 1 minute that we have left.
So Samantha is not letting go of this woman tomorrow. She said, look,
y'all, I kind of am, because it's actually 10 seconds, but I've extended it 60 extra seconds. But yeah, this episode, for folks who don't know, who was recorded live for the patrons on Patreon. So they're in the building with us, not in the physical building,
in the virtual building. In the Zoom room. Yeah.
Anybody got any comments on whether it be Akua's last segment or relationship anarchy or the gay witch scientist salamanders or fuck is that sound? Ludacris and Usher, baby.
Not really, but I'm really happy for Akua. I've been listening to your journey for some time now, and I'm super excited for you and wherever your relationship goes.
Thank you. And actually, I want to chime in on how that, all of that relationship anarchy, and maybe I did that already, like resonated with me, because in realizing all of this and like how I have a habit of like going through the same cycles with these emotionally unavailable men, I decided to toss everything out the window. Like, I'm like, I'm going to navigate this relationship in the newest of ways, like from scratch. Like, I have the basics, me, him, here are my core values and what I want to bring to this relationship, and I want this relationship to like manifest and uphold. And then we're just, we winging it at that point. We are talking about it. We are putting it together as we go, and it's looking however it looks for us, because I can't rely on those tools from the past. Those tools were from unhealthy relationships. They're not going to build this one. So it's like, we just gotta, we're purging in this bitch. We literally cleared the whole shed and said, you know what? We're gonna figure it out together. We're gonna make our tools and we're gonna figure it out together.
Look at us on the same wave without even realizing it.
But look at you, dating your cancer. See, that's how that's it works.
That's that cancer stuff, that Pisces stuff that gets you, you know? Ooh, a lot of big water sign energy up in here.
Oh, child.
Carlin, you were going to say something, I think.
Yeah, I just wanted to say how much I just appreciate y'all and how you all sharing your journeys and your growth and your reflections has been so meaningful to me and I'm sure to other people. And I really am just wishing all three of you success, because I've been listening to the podcast for a really long time. And I'm super happy that all three of you sound like you're in really healthy, loving relationships. And I'm just really super excited and happy for all three of y'all. So I'm looking forward to wherever these things take us, and I just appreciate all of the learning and growing that I have been able to do with y'all from hearing you share and be so vulnerable with your experiences.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Thank
that
you. Means a lot. I'm going to cry. See, that's the water energy coming out.
That is the water energy coming
that's
out.
That's a good word.
And Philip says, 100. 100%.
Exactly the same. Like, I remember when I started listening to y'all in 2018, and like, it's been
ooh, a
not 2018.
Not 2018.
But I think that for me, like, hearing about relationship anarchy, it was one of those buzzwords that I just kind of kept hearing and not really delve deeper into. So I appreciated like hearing about the manifesto, hearing everyone's thoughts about it, because similarly, like, I just felt like a lot of the, especially on the manifesto, some of the things like really made sense to me, like not only about how I view relationships, but how I've grown and how I engage in my relationships. And so yeah. I am definitely going to start reading more up on it and incorporating it more into my relationships.
Yay.
That's awesome. Definitely. Thank you so much, everybody, for chiming in. We are so lucky to have you folks as listeners, and I really mean that.
Yes. Yeah,
seriously.
Such a long time.
Just a gift
too.
That keeps on giving.
Seriously.
Yay. You said 2018, so wait a minute. 2022. I don't know that girl. I don't know her.
We've all evolved. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing.
In a good way.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, that has been another season of the Inner Hole Uprisings. We did it. Nos hacimos. Season fucking 9 up in here. We hope you come along for season 10. But if this episode and or season made you laugh, helped you learn something, made you feel good, made you question yourself in a good way, or positively moved you in any sense, leave us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts. That's all we're asking for. We're like, it's 9 seasons. Just write a thing. Just tap it.
That's
nine
a
stars.
Nice word.
It ain't even that serious, y'all. It's the least you can do. It's the least you can fucking do. Or on Spotify.
Y'all about to have us begging.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm saying. Goddamn.
Begging y'all to act right. Tell the people. Love us out loud. Us tell out the people you like us. Yes. Tell the people you like us. Stop hiding me.
We want
on the social media
relationship attachments.
Yes. Okay, put me on your Instagram. I want to see.
Yeah, let everyone know that you love these souls. Yeah, Philip put Anna onto the podcast, so this is praxis. Hey. This is praxis right here. Yeah. All right. We appreciate all of you.
And if you would like to follow us on social media, you can do so at Inner Hole Uprising without a G on Twitter. Inner Hole Uprising on Instagram and Facebook, and you can head to innerholeuprising.com to pay a hole or to cop some merch. You can also follow me at The Darkest Timeline on Instagram.
And me, Akua, at Hey Akua Girl on Instagram.
I'm SlamRid on Instagram and Twitter. Have a lovely motherfucking summer, because you truly deserve to. Bye.
Bye.
Love you all.